Welcome to Temple of Health Radio Show. This is Dr. Susan Cobb, and I'm pleased to have today as my guest Karen Tate, who is the author of Goddess Calling. She is also the author of Sacred Places of the Goddess, 108 Destinations. She is a radio show host. Her radio show is Voices of the Sacred Feminine, and a sacred tour leader and social justice activist. And she has worked for three decades promoting the idea of bringing the goddess back to balance out the world we live in. Thank you for joining us, Karen.
Oh, thank you so much for having me this morning.
Well, I don't know whether or not you took a look at what I've been doing lately, but I have been involved in the goddess work. I'm one of 42 authors in Goddess Shift, Women Leading for a Change. That was put out by the editor, Stephanie Marone. And it has a lot of great information from leaders in all sorts of areas, attorneys, business people, entertainers, medicine, law, you know, just about every field out there. And what the goddess meant to them and in their journey.
Well, this is definitely a subject that's on the rise, and it's interesting in the last few decades how we can see the resurgence. You know, whether you look at goddess as deity, archetype, or ideal, or the consciousness of the planet, I think so many people are realizing that what we accept as normal isn't working for the most of us, and we're looking for a new normal. And interestingly, we can look to the past, you know, and cherry pick some of those best ideas, and some of those best ideas do come from the sacred feminine, which is actually probably, you know, at least 30 or 40,000 years old. And lots of people don't realize that either, that humanity on the planet had actually been looking to a feminine face of God that long ago, before a male God even entered the equation, you know, in people's minds.
Well, that was more in the Golden Age. In the Golden Age, we had more balance, more community, less, you know, emphasis on conquest and ruling over others. But we're now in the Kali Yuga, which is the age of darkness, and that's probably why we have things so far out of balance. But the good news is we're headed back into balance. We're headed back into the age of Aquarius, which will help us balance the male and female energies.
Well, you know, I think it's really out of necessity, you know, if we want to save ourselves, if we want to save the planet, we can't continue to keep doing things the way we've been doing them. I think we have to reassess our values. We have to rethink everything that we've been taught, actually. And part of what I tell people is, you know, we really do have to take responsibility for our own educations, because the biggest voices out there don't necessarily have the interests of the most of us in mind. You know, it's, you know, our media is controlled by corporations, and, you know, corporations just want us to be good little spenders, and they're only worried about the bottom line, and they're very short-sighted. I was just reading the articles today about how France is shifting over to they're, you know, having their employees, you know, in companies, you know, maybe not have to answer emails after you know, they go home, after they clock out. And you might say, well, what does that, you know, what does that have to do with any of this? Well, you know, I think it's pointing to they're more concerned with a better quality of life. You know, they're interested in, and, you know, not working to live. Not living to work, but working to live. And, you know, we talk here in the United States about family values, but really it's all about capitalism and competition and survival of the fittest, rather than, you know, really being concerned about our personal development, our quality of life. You know, we could get into that more if you like, but I do think things are shifting is my point, you know, whatever label you want to put on it.
Now, it's interesting to me, in the political arena that we elected a half black president prior to a female president. What's your take on that?
Well, I think there were different things at play there. It's a complicated subject. I think there were a lot of women, obviously, hoping for a female president. But, you know, Hillary came with baggage. You know, she came mm-hmm. with the baggage of the Clinton years. Let's not forget, even though Clinton, we had the most prosperity, and he even handed George Bush a surplus when he got out of office, that he did sign NAFTA. They're very corporatist, and mm-hmm. I think, and of course Hillary voted for the Iraq War, and mm-hmm. I think that all played into it. Now Barack Obama, you know, he said the right things. He wasn't so hawkish, you know. He had this. He really came across, if I can use the expression, he really came across more with the ideology of the sacred feminine in those early mm-hmm. days when he was campaigning, and I think people really want what he was trying to promise us. But mm-hmm. then, of course, we saw when he got into office, it's not up to one man. You know, one man can obviously be stonewalled. And then I think, you know, when you get in that Oval Office and it's different than when you're on the campaign trail as well.
Mm-hmm.
But I think in the coming couple years, just like racism has really been at the forefront since President Obama has been in office, and we've mm-hmm. seen that ugliness and hate and divisiveness that still lives in this country. Mm-hmm. I think when she starts running, and maybe Elizabeth Warren starts running, we are really going to see the ugly sexism, too.
Isn't that interesting? It actually brings it up. That's fascinating.
Well, you know, we are living in a country that has been dominated by white male privilege and, mm-hmm. you know, white male Christian privilege. And, you know, that is starting to shift. And I think as patriarchy, you know, male rule, as that starts to crumble, and I think it is crumbling with these new ideas people want. They don't want that authoritarian father archetype anymore.
Mm-hmm.
They want, you know, they want to resist oppression, exploitation. They want more fairness and justice and equality, you know, more of an egalitarian society. You know, mm-hmm. I think as we shift into that, you know, patriarchy is struggling to hold on to power. And mm-hmm. we see it in the news with Republicans trying to turn back the clock. Put women where they were 50 years ago. We see it as they fight against equal pay for women. We barely got them to sign. I forget exactly the name of it now. But they wouldn't even sign something about fighting domestic violence. I mean, they're very mm-hmm. anti-woman. They're anti-immigrant. Mm-hmm. They're anti-gay, anti-black. But that's who this country is. You know, they white male authority cannot keep controlling the world. And I think that's the uprising you're seeing everywhere, you know. And I think they're starting to lose power, and as they lose power, they hold on that much tighter, you know, to mm-hmm. try to grab back what they think they've lost or grab back what they think they're going to lose.
Yeah, right. Well, what sort of political environment do you think we need in order to advance the equality for women? I mean, do we need more females elected to Congress, or is that not working either? Do you think we need?
Well, there's a couple prongs to this. You know, it's not really a soundbite answer, so I'll keep it as brief as I can. Yes, mm-hmm. absolutely, we need more women in politics. You know, because mm-hmm. in the United States, we have less than 20% of women's leadership in politics, at the top of academia, in corporate leadership, in religious leadership. So, you know, women are not represented, and their values are not represented. represented. But that being said, all women do not believe these sort of sacred feminine ideals. You know, if they have been benefiting by the patriarchy, they continue to perpetuate the patriarchy. You know, I think about Margaret Thatcher, Sarah Palin, Michelle Bachmann, you know, those sorts. So it's not just the woman. It's, you know, it's not in the genitals. It's more in the consciousness, you know, because men can carry this, you know, very well. And like, look at Bernie Sanders, for instance, you know. So it's not, yes, we do need more women because they tend to innately, I think, you know, women tend to think more peripherally, you know, how are my, you know, how are my actions going to affect the whole rather than just this me, this linear thinking. But I think what will benefit women, I mean, what will benefit all of us will benefit women. And what we have right now is everything geared toward helping the 1%, helping the corporation. You know, we don't have our, you know, our tax code, you know, everything in our social safety nets being eaten away at. Everything is geared toward, you know, making the corporations rich. Look at our military budget, keeping the military-industrial complex rich, where we could, you know, instead of buying things that are obsolete or we really don't need. I mean, we spend 10 times more than 10 other countries. We could be using that for our crumbling infrastructure, for, you know, helping people, you know, be educated so they can get jobs, research and development to create jobs. You know, we could, you know, this idea of the minimum wage, raising it to $10. You know, all of these things would help women because women are disproportionately affected by the you know, the slave wages that are you know, that is the minimum wage. So if we just helped the vast majority of us, if we helped the 99%, women would be helped. You know, but there are things that we can do specifically for women as well. You know, Rhianne Eisler writes beautifully about, you know, in her partnership studies classes about how if when we value women's work and so much of what women do, if it were paid appropriately, you know, if I mean, like, for instance, in the Netherlands, you know, they have something akin to Social Security. If even if you are staying home taking care of your elderly parents or your children, you know, where here, if women have to stay home to take care of their family, they get nothing, you know. And so, I mean, it's a big subject, you know. And I don't, you know, and I don't know if you want to keep talking about this. We can,
well,
but
I want to just tell a story if I could. It's an interesting story. I was at a press conference in Washington, D.C. when Barbara Boxer introduced a bill into Congress regarding the breast implant problem. This was in the early 90s. And we had just had a press conference with a number of celebrities that had breast implant problems, myself representing, you know, the medical field, Barbara Boxer and some other people. And at the end of that, she put her arm around me and whispered in my ear, "My dear, you were very brave." That's the only thing she said to me. And later on, I would find out why she said that. But the idea is that corporations will do all sorts of things to stop people from bringing forth the truth about their products. And I wrote a book called The Naked Truth About Breast Implants, exposing the silicone toxicity, the chemical toxicity, and biotoxicity that are associated with different forms of implants. And, you know, then there were quite a few things that occurred that was the backlash from the industry regarding that book. And so she accurately predicted the role of the corporation against the individual that is the whistleblower.
Well, sure. Look at GMOs. You know, they're fighting food labeling. You know, they don't want us to know what we're eating.
Exactly.
You know, big pharma. We don't always know what these medications they're giving us to us. You know,
and they're also targeting individuals that are giving money for that purpose. In other words, they're actually targeting people specifically in a very bad way. So, you know, it's not,
you mean
it's very personal.
Who speak out against?
No, who give money. It's all about the money. Okay.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
If they speak out and get a following, of course. You know, whether it be for chemtrails, GMOs, breast implants, whatever. But I interview all the whistleblowers. I've done Temple of Health radio show for 17 years, so for every week I interview whistleblowers. So I know what steps are taken against these people. You know, I know
right.
the details. I know the similarities. So the point is that you do not necessarily become a whistleblower without having a very personal attack upon you, and sometimes meant to eliminate you entirely.
I totally believe that. I mean, look at how they're coming at people who are fighting fracking. You know, people really have to wake up. And, you know, we hear out of Fox News all the time, oh, well, we have to support the corporations. They're the job creators. Please. You know, that's ridiculous. It's almost as if, does that mean we give them carte blanche to do anything because they might create some jobs and in some cases,
destroy the planet in the meantime.
Destroy the planet in the meantime, and some of these jobs are such, you know, low-paying jobs that...
Yeah, they're not helpful, right.
No, you know, or, you know, in some cases, you know, some jobs that people would actually be working in toxic environments. Yeah, I mean, look at the poor miners, you know,
right.
the conditions that they work under. But, you know, it the media sort of controls the spin, and that sort of goes back to what I said about we have to take responsibility for our own education. We can't just be these gullible sheep that just swallow anything that these, you know, corporate-paid newscasters, men and women alike, tell us because... they don't have our best interest at heart. They are, you know, they are not journalists. You know, they're just mouthpieces spouting corporate propaganda, you know, and being paid very well to do it.
Yeah, I want to give an example of that for the listeners. I interviewed Dr. Carlo on the dangers of cellular telephones. He was hired by the industry to do $20 million worth of research to determine, you know, the danger of things like brain tumors and parotid and eye tumors. And he found that there was... on unprotected cell phones, that there was a high level of free radicals that then caused certain classes of tumors. And he would not suppress the research as requested. And they burnt down his house. He fled to South America and wrote the book. But what he told me was interesting. He said there are more class action lawsuits against cell phone companies for causing brain tumors because of, you know, he actually worked out the mechanism. I think he said at that time, and it was a few years ago, there were at least 8 class action lawsuits. Now, you never hear anything about that on mainstream media.
Right.
You did hear about the breast implant was the largest class action in history, and it may still be because, you know, if you have 8 separate ones, they may not, if you might have to put them together to equal the breast implant one.
Right.
But certainly the idea that all of this is being hidden, and the thing that is really interesting to me is that the technology for protecting oneself against these free radicals is known. There's Q-Link, there's BioProChip, there's zero-point Earth Hearts, there's keeping the phone away from you, you know, using your speakerphone or a cord. But as we've had a cancer clinic here for many years, and we see melanomas popping up underneath where people keep their cell phones, you know, in their pocket. We see lymphomas popping up when they had their cell phones laying on their chest, doing conference calls all day long. You know, we see a lot of tumors associated where the cell phone was. So that in itself, that's a great example of something very, very easy to educate people on through the mainstream media. And it would actually benefit the cell phone companies, because I don't think people are going to give up their cell phones. I really don't.
Right.
But why don't we make them safe? But corporate America is so paranoid that they will sabotage their own researchers they will try to suppress information that they paid to create, and you'll never hear about it. And so the first thing you know is either you have a brain tumor or someone you love has a brain tumor, and the answer was out there all the time how to prevent that. And the other thing I want to mention, taking melatonin before you go to bed, like 3 to 6 milligrams of melatonin will decrease free radicals in all of the body, but especially in the brain. So that would be very protective if you have to use a cell phone.
Right.
So there, you know, there are things that you can do even with supplements that are pretty pretty non-toxic to protect yourself.
You know, I think some people are really still under the illusion that these corporations, excuse me for saying it like this, but this is how I feel, that they have integrity, you know, that they have any sense
right.
of interest in, you know, in the public. And they
don't. They don't.
They just don't. I mean, sure, there may be some exceptions. You know,
no,
there are some good companies. You know, I'm not saying every corporation is evil. Rian Isley even writes about companies that care, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But the vast majority, you know, the ones that are all about the bottom line, you know, they really can't be trusted, from whether it's the food we drink, food we eat, or, you know, where we get our energy, where we get our food. I mean, the things that happen in the farm industry to bring us our food is horrendous. But, you know, going back to the breast implants, you know, that kind of segues into a real pet peeve of mine in this patriarchy, is the money that women feel they have to spend to keep up with this patriarchal idea of beauty. You don't see men doing it. You know, you only see women with the breast implants, the Botox. You know, there's even something now called anal bleaching. I mean, the models on the runways look like little boys. You know, they have to be size 0 or size 2 instead of looking like women with curves. You know,
mm-hmm.
That really annoys me. And I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm saying, yes, let's be healthy. But do we really, we've gotten to the point where, you know, young girls are so sexualized that it's all about, you know, girls are told, you know, that it's all about how they look, not, you know, how smart they are. In fact,
mm-hmm.
you know, I think girls are still probably told, you know, don't be too smart. You're not going to, you know,
you're not going to
get a man. You know, hide your light under the bushel because you
mm-hmm.
don't want to intimidate men. What a horrible message that we're still telling women. You know, also we don't value older women. You know, they become invisible in society. And you see, these are all values that people who are into goddess spirituality, into goddess, you know, we
mm-hmm.
want to get rid of these ideas, you know, because they don't serve women. You know, they serve the cosmetic industry, you know, but,
mm-hmm.
but they're not, these are not messages that empower women. These are messages that tell women you're not good enough unless you spend this money. You're not good enough unless you are this thin. You know, you're not good enough, and, you know, you're useless when you become a certain age. If you're not the sexual maiden, then,
mm-hmm.
you know, we don't really have a lot of use for you, you know, unless you're the mother. You know, a mother archetype, constantly giving, giving, doing, doing, or the nubile young maiden who's all about sexuality, then, you know, our patriarchal culture, you know, they don't know what to do with women. You know, their usefulness, like the powerful queen archetype, for instance, or the warrioress, well, you know, that they want to tamp down. I mean, why do you
mm-hmm.
think patriarchy allows the archetype of Mary? You know, because she's kind, she's safe. You know, she's not uppity. She's benign. You know, she's not going to make waves. You know, she's not going to maybe be out there fighting for equal rights and equal pay.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So it's there's lots of layers to the onion, if you know what I mean. You know, it's lots of different topics here, because I really believe you in scholars will substantiate that you can connect the dots between losing a feminine face of God and what women are enduring today, whether it be female genital mutilation,
mm-hmm.
not making equal pay, human trafficking, domestic violence,
mm-hmm.
all of these things, because women have been second class for so long, and
mm-hmm.
And that gives gives men license to exploit, to abuse, to dominate.
There is one thing in the breast implant issue that I read just yesterday that was interesting. The American Society of Plastic Surgery came out with some new statistics, and they found that breast lifts were twice as common now as implants, and that was a new trend. That was never before. And basically, that was before if somebody came in with and wanted their breasts lifted, they were often sold implants to do that, you know, to put volume back. And now, I think with the you know increased awareness of problems with breast implants, women are saying, "No, I just want the extra skin taken off, you know, to make them look like they did before I breastfed, rather than putting implants in with uncertain risks." So that was interesting. I mean, maybe there is some patient education going on over the internet and over other things other than the mainstream media, because of course you won't see it on the mainstream media, but that to me indicates that women are probably deciding not to put implants in based on their own education. I'm not sure surgeons are you know recommending mastopexy by itself, you know, all the time. I don't think they've changed so much. I think the women have. So that's one thing. But the internet really has helped a lot with education. You can get right to the source of things and read studies.
Well, of course, you know, there's also the opposite. It's difficult sometimes to weed out the reliable sources. You know, it does give us a better opportunity to, look into a lot of things. Things can't be hidden as easily, as they once were. I mean, just imagine if you're writing a book today versus, writing a book maybe 15 years ago, and you have you don't have to get up and drive down to the library, they have the book.
right. Women, I would encourage women to go to big sites like Dr. McCullough on, holistic medicine, Huffington Post, there are sites that collect information on various topics, and then you can search the site and find it. And then it's screened by someone, Huffington Post, the journalists screen it, and then they tend to interview experts, so they tend to get good information. And then, Dr. McCullough it is screening everything, so he's not going to be putting up information that is, just dead wrong.
Right.
So that's how you can kind of have it screened for you a little bit.
Well, yeah, I mean, I guess going back to the, if we're staying on the idea of education, that, there's so much we have to take the time to educate ourselves about, because we are spoon-fed stuff from the pulpit that really sort of has us indoctrinated to, what is normal is okay, even when it's really against our best interest. I grew up in the South, in the Bible Belt, and you didn't hear about the sacred feminine in the Bible Belt. You didn't. It wasn't until I moved to California and my education really started. You don't understand how religion oppresses women. And I know that might sound ridiculous, and as the words leave my mouth now, I have to make the point that I still know many women in the South who are still, living in, in this idea that, everything that comes from the pulpit, that's the way it ought to be, as if there is no other way, or that maybe they're being exploited, or, Jimmy Carter, for instance. I mean, Jimmy Carter has a wonderful book out now, A Call to Action, talking about, women violence, sex, you know, and mm-hmm. how women are exploited around the world. And it's probably one of the biggest forms of discrimination that nobody talks about. I mean, he
right.
left
mm-hmm.
his church because he said it was a sin how the church actually prevented women from reaching, you know, their fullest potential. So,
mm-hmm.
yes, you know, it is so important that we educate ourselves, whether it's about breast implants or whether it's about politics or whether it's about religion or, you know, all of these things so that we can, you know, we can activate ourselves and be a functioning member of society out there rather than just this, you know, this sheeple that's sort of, you know, pulled along, you know, for corporate interests, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think there was a time when maybe we could, you know, we could sort of trust and you know, we felt that, you know, maybe our doctor had our best interest at heart rather than, you know, does he have to make a payment for his yacht or his Porsche? You know, or maybe there were times where we thought that the food manufacturers, you know, they wouldn't poison us with things that were unhealthy for us. But, you know, no more. But I think a lot of us still have to be awakened, I think is what I'm saying. You know, we're so busy.
Mm-hmm.
Some, you know, some women are, you know, trying to work two jobs. You know, when do they have time to do the research? You know, they just hear some craziness, you know, maybe on a Super PAC commercial or being spouted from Fox News. And if you hear it enough times, you know, you hear it on TV, well, they don't realize that there's no truth in advertising anymore.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, they
right.
can lie to you on TV. They really can lie
mm-hmm.
to you on TV.
Yeah, they really can.
And there's no consequence for that, you know,
yeah.
whether it's a,
yeah.
you know, a political commercial or...
Well, let me give an example of that that is pretty shocking. The FDA helped to fund a study that was published in the Journal of Rheumatology about women who had ruptured silicone breast implants. And the study found that the majority of them got fibromyalgia, which is essentially chemical and biotoxicity. And so this this study is up on the FDA website. But three or four times now, at various times in the mainstream media, I have seen the FDA statement that, and the FDA says that breast implants do not cause any systemic problems, only local chest wall complications. But it's on that paper that they helped to pay for is on their website. I mean, you know, that's the FDA, that's your government, who's the very corporation, or I'm sorry, the very agency that is created to protect you
right.
from devices.
Well, the same
is lying on national TV.
Well, you know, in the EPA, the very same sort of things happen there. What happened,
yeah.
it all goes back to money. You know, like you said, we have these lobbyists who were once lobbying for corporations.
And now run the FDA.
Yes, yes, exactly. And if and you know, and like I said before, if you're busy and you're taking care of kids and you're working two jobs, well, maybe
yeah, you don't realize
you know,
this.
You
yeah.
don't realize this, you know,
mm-hmm.
that the people who are running the FDA, who are running the EPA, that, you know,
mm-hmm.
they have maybe forced out mm-hmm. the government officials who once were in service to the people, and then
right.
they're being replaced with these bought and paid for people who are really shifting things so it benefits the corporation, and the consumer is at risk. The consumer
yeah.
is really at risk.
Obama put Taylor in charge of the FDA. Taylor was the vice president of Monsanto and the chief counsel for Monsanto.
Yeah.
You would
absolutely.
Think that would be a flagrant problem with conflict of interest.
Well, you would. And, I mean, you know, we have this the right-leaning Supreme Court who has been making decisions for corporations for the last, you know, half a dozen years, and you would think, you know, they're supposed to not have a conflict of interest either, but you have people like Scalia and Thomas who are, you know, bought and paid for by the Tea Party, and
mm-hmm.
I say that because, you know, they're caught at these events. You know, Thomas's wife is works for a Tea Party group. Mm-hmm. So yes, I mean, there's conflict of interest all over, and the result is the corporation ends up being benefited, and the American consumer, the American person, it's like there's an attack on us. You know, from mm-hmm. all sides, whether it's the cellular phone industry, you've talked about breast implants and the medical association, it's almost as if we have to put a shield up.
Well, I think what we have to do is we have to really, as consumers, band together and start rewarding corporations for responsible action, like. Reward the cell phone company that actually puts protection on the phone. Reward the grocery chain that can keep out GMO. Okay, if it's,
right.
it may not even be possible though. You know, Whole Foods said they couldn't because they really couldn't even know what along the line in some of the foods were GMO and weren't GMO.
Right.
So it's almost getting to the point where it's not even possible. But we could, as consumers, with a kind of a Ralph Nader type of presence and enough people aware of it, we have power as consumers, and that's about the only place we have power. But that's what I see. I think we have to organize as consumer groups, educating the vast population as to what corporations are ethically oriented and which ones are unethically oriented, and then you basically buy or not buy them out of existence.
Well, yeah, that's very true. I mean, look what happened when people heard what Rush Limbaugh said about Sandra Fluke,
right?
Contraception, and he is still losing advertisers. Yeah, I absolutely agree.
Yeah, right.
And it's not just be a savvy consumer. Don't buy Koch Brothers products, for instance. I think we all have to do our best whenever we can to get up off the couch, and not waste our time on Facebook, and maybe
mm-hmm.
find something that we're passionate about. Maybe
mm-hmm.
it's the animals that are abused in factory farms. Maybe
right.
it's domestic violence. Maybe it's how Republicans are suppressing the vote. Whatever it is, try
mm-hmm.
to lend some energy to it. Even try to lend some money to it. Maybe you don't have to go to Starbucks so many days a week. Take that $5 that you didn't spend on that latte, and send it in, because there's so much corporate money now
mm-hmm.
in politics because campaign finance reform, the Supreme Court gutted it. So
mm-hmm.
it's even worse now than with Citizens United. We have to activate ourselves and actually become activists. We can't just leave it to somebody else to take care of our society, of our government.
Mm-hmm.
We actually have to get involved now, or we're going to end up totally dominated and by corporate interests, and that's not going to be in our best interest. So
I'll tell you something easy to do because of the internet. It doesn't take but maybe 5 minutes. It's easy to do, and you can do it whenever you think of it. Like, it occurred to me the other day that Orvel Redenbach, who makes pretty good popcorn, right? But I don't know if they have GMO corn in it, right? So I just emailed him, and I said, do you use GMO corn in your popcorn? And I got an answer back that there has been no, it wasn't yes or no, it was there has been no scientific evidence that GMO corn is detrimental to human health.
That sounds like a dodge to me.
Yeah, but they don't know who they're answering, okay? Because I know all the studies. So I said, well, that's not true. And then I tell them the studies. And I said, you might want to consider not putting GMO corn in your popcorn. Because I said, if you do, and I'm a doctor, if you do, my patients are now showing allergic reactions to popcorn, where they bloat within 5 minutes of eating the popcorn. They bloat up, and get very uncomfortable. So you might want to consider not doing that. Now, I am a doctor, so they, you know, they might pay a little more attention to that. But why doesn't everybody just email Orville Redenbacher or whatever your popcorn company is, or whatever your, you know, whatever food industry that's being buying the cheaper GMO thing? And if we had enough people just emailing them, they might understand that they might not be able to sell so much popcorn, especially if a competitor has non-GMO on it. You
yeah.
know.
Well, you know, again, it all goes back to money. You know, I mean, it would be great if we had a watchdog group that could maybe organize these sorts
yeah,
of email campaigns.
That would be the best, right.
You know,
yeah.
And like every month, well, you hit a different industry, you know.
Right.
And
yeah.
you get, you know, 10,000, 100,000 people email in that particular industry.
Right.
I mean, that, but it takes somebody to either, you know, do that on as free, you know, pro bono to organize that effort,
mm-hmm.
or they have to be paid, which means, you know,
well, they could be paid by they could be paid by the corporation that doesn't use GMO corn in their popcorn.
There you go. There you
and
go.
You know, and it probably wouldn't take very, I mean, that would be better than advertising on national TV, I would think.
Yeah, you know what? I think that's brilliant. You know that, and you
yeah.
know, then there's a built-in incentive to
right.
your
yeah.
product or your service, you know,
clean.
With integrity,
clean.
And clean.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
absolutely. Yeah, I think.
And
that's,
then,
that's
and then,
idea.
When you do advertising that it's GMO free, you know, that's valuable. That's more. You have more value for your dollar that you spend on your advertising.
Yes, absolutely. Well, and you know, going back to, you know, where we put our support, you know, whether it's what
mm-hmm.
we buy, you know, I think we also have to really think about who we're putting into office.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I say it is I run into people all the time that say, oh, you know, I vote for this party or that party because that's, you know, that's how our family has always voted. Or maybe they vote for a particular party because of social issues, you know, because
mm-hmm.
they're against,
right.
you know, they're against, you know, they're against gays marrying, or they're against,
mm-hmm.
You know, they're I'm sorry, I'll just say it, because whether they maybe want to admit it or not, they have an issue with immigrants or they're racist in some way, you know, so
mm-hmm.
they tend, you know, to lean toward the, you know, the party that is always against that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we tell people all the time, if you care about Mother Earth, you can't support the party who is always supporting the corporations and not the people. You know, if
mm-hmm.
you care about women's issues, you can't vote for the party who has a war on women. You know, so we have to really think about that. You have to reconcile not just your spirituality and your politics, but you also have to, you know, reconcile your consumerism. I mean, everything you do, you know, it mm-hmm. think about whether they're in alignment, you know, so to speak. You know, if you care about the earth, if you care about the poor, you know, don't vote for the party that's taking,
yeah.
you know, food out of you know, kids' mouths because they think it promotes a culture of laziness. I mean, that's
mm-hmm.
crazy. I mean, here you have rich billionaires who know nothing about, in most cases, suffering and poverty, you know, who are assuming that, oh, well, you know, people are going to be inspired and work harder if they don't have food. No, maybe they'll just die and end up in
mm-hmm.
the emergency room, you know, because they, you know, they haven't been able to eat properly and, you know, and they have medical conditions as a result. I mean, it's really crazy and hypocritical when
mm-hmm.
you think about, you know, parties who say they care about family values who really
mm-hmm.
don't care about family values.
Right. Well, that's true. And I think that they're, you know, again, education is very important. And if you have a topic that you're very concerned about, you know, the things that come to mind that I think everybody should be concerned about is the exposure to plastics. A lot of plastics are endocrine disruptors. A lot of plastics are probably causing a number of health issues. Exposure to estrogen. We have 8-year-olds developing breasts. We never had that in my day, anyway. Hormone problems that, or hormone issues that may be linked to prostate and breast cancer, and you know, other issues like this, like high fructose corn syrup, that is causing major problems with weight gain and other medical problems. You can find sodas that don't have high fructose corn syrup in them. They're not from this country, but I found some at World Market that were very good, had sugar in them, but, you know, if you get the low sugar, then that's fine. But these are things that I think everybody ought to, especially people with children, you need to limit the estrogen, limit the plastics. For God's sake, don't warm up things in your microwave in plastic. That's just putting it right in the food. And also, you know, limit estrogen that your children is eating.
Well, when you say, you know, warm up food in plastic, when you think about it, just about all of the, you know, the Stouffer's and, you know, all of the different
everything's
Weight Watchers,
in plastic.
Everything's
right.
in plastic, you know. So
yep.
All of those fast foods that you buy,
mm-hmm.
You know, are in plastic. And, you know, if I don't know if we can shift the conversation a little bit, you know, so that your listeners can, you know, maybe get more of an idea about, you know, the sacred feminine ideas.
Sure.
Of course, you know, all of these things certainly fall into alignment, you know, because it's about empowering the individual, you know,
mm-hmm.
rather than, if you think of it as like a dominator pyramid, you know, have the few at the top who were sort of pulling all the strings. And it's interesting that, you know, when the Occupy movement came out, you know, we started this, you know, this sort of phrase, the 1% versus the 99%. And that really sort of perfectly suited sort of the ideals of the sacred feminine, because we talk about the dominator pyramid, and that's exactly what it is. You have the 1% at the top that's sort of pulling all the strings, whether they be the corporations or whether they be,
mm-hmm.
You know, patriarchal leadership in the church, or whether it be male-dominated corporate America, who are making all the decisions for us at the bottom of that pyramid, you know, and that's what we're trying to get away from. We're trying to get into a place where we have a more egalitarian society, where we
mm-hmm.
don't have this winner and loser kind of competition of capitalism. Instead, we can create more win-win situations. So it's an idea that the game theorists actually talk about. It was so interesting to hear Bill Clinton talking to David Letterman about it on a show once. I mean, he didn't label it as sacred feminine ideals. He labeled it as game theory ideals. But it's funny that they're exactly the same. Let's create win-win situations rather than winners
mm-hmm.
and losers. So there's not somebody on the top and somebody on the bottom. Why can't there be, you know, why can't there be a more level playing field? And you know, and that's sort of what the ideals of the sacred feminine are about. You know, it's about more justice. It's about more balance in the world. It's about creating equality. And there hasn't been equality. You know, when we go back in history, it goes back to the Bible. I mean, the Bible gives men license to dominate, and
mm-hmm.
so men dominate the earth. And with all the development that, you know, that has sort of run amok at,
mm-hmm.
at the cost of the earth, men dominate women on the planet. Women, you know, we dominate the species. Look at the species that go extinct, you know, every day, every month, every year, and that doesn't work anymore. So
mm-hmm.
I think one of the biggest misconceptions about this idea of the sacred feminine, if you don't know what this is about, is that, you know, it's angry feminists, you know, women who want to take over the world and rule men. You know, it's really not that at all. You know, myself, I've been married to a wonderful man for 30 years. I call him the wind beneath my wings. In fact, I dedicated my book, Goddess Calling, to him because how supportive he's been, you know, in this work to help empower women,
mm-hmm.
you know, to get the ideas of, you know, what the feminine face of God sort of represents. And, you know, women are not looking for domination. You know, we don't want to exploit the way we've been exploited. We want partnership.
Mm-hmm.
We want equality. In fact, I was in a wonderful documentary called Femme, Women Healing the World, that was executive produced by the actress Sharon Stone and Emmanuel Etier of Wonderland Entertainment. And I would really recommend that your listeners look into that. You can find it easily. You can go to my website, KarenTate.com, right there on the first page. If you scroll down a little bit, you can click on it. You can download it. You can stream it. Pretty soon there's going to be DVDs. But it talks about how we can, you know, not just pointing a finger at the culprits, you know, but it's a courageous film because it takes on religion. It talks about how in ancient times there was a feminine face of God, where when women were more revered and uplifted, where, you know, there were societies that had egalitarian societies, then patriarchy comes into the equation and it becomes, you know, domination of women. And this isn't just to bash religion. This isn't to bash men, you know, but you have to look at how things have gotten turned on their head so that you can fix them, you know.
Right.
So the whole idea is, you know what, we can fix this together. We can fix this with partnership. We can fix this with love. Because, you know, men have been damaged by not having a feminine face of God as well. You know, you think about men who aren't allowed to be their most authentic self. You know, men who maybe would more naturally be sort of the caring, sharing, nurturing type. But no, what does patriarchy tell them? You know, they have to be, you know, they have to be the strongest and the toughest, you know, or they're bullied on the playground. So, you know, we have to sort of rethink a lot of things, you know, and really aim for partnership. And we're talking about partnership in our relationships. We're talking about partnership with corporations instead of domination, you know, the corporation dominating the consumer. We're talking about partnership with political parties, with governments, you know, people in the planet. One cannot continue to dominate the other because this imbalance is literally killing us. Literally killing us. And the sacred feminine is about partnership. And I think if your listeners go away with any other ideas, you know, if they would go away with one idea, it would be to know that the sacred feminine is about partnership. It's, you know, it's against domination. And, you know, I would hope that they would see the film Femme Women Healing the World, get it on their internet or from my website, KarenTate.com, or, you know, hopefully, you know, take a look at my book, Goddess Calling. Right now, Amazon has it for $12 and change. Or if you don't want to give your money to a multinational corporation like Amazon, go to your local bookseller and support your local bookseller. You can buy it directly from me, and you'll even get it signed. And it talks about these ideals of the sacred feminine. You know, it talks about, you know, compassion, talks about self-love, talks about empowerment. You know, there's meditations in the book that sort of help you, you know, get to a better place within yourself. But it also talks about the importance of reconciling your spirituality and your politics and, you know, who you are in the world. You know, who would you like to be? You know, finding your authentic self.
Yeah, I think all of those are great suggestions. Would you give your contact information one more time for our listeners?
Sure. The easiest place to find all of this is at my website, KarenTate.com. That's KarenTate.com. And my radio show is on Blog Talk every Wednesday night. It's called Voices of the Sacred Feminine. I've been doing that for 8 years. I've interviewed everyone from Noam Chomsky and Vandana Shiva to wonderful visionaries and scholars, Father Roy Bourgeois, who had been excommunicated from the Vatican, wonderful scholars, Anne Baring most recently, you know, talking about the sacred feminine as the consciousness of the planet. So you can find my radio show there on Blog Talk, but my website, KarenTate.com, that's an easy go-to place. And, you know, I'd love to hear from your listeners. And if for the first five that actually do get in touch with me via email or Facebook, you can find me at Karen Tate. I will send them a free copy of my book, Walking in Ancient Paths.
Great. That's very generous. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Well, Karen, we're coming up to the end of our hour. Thanks so much for joining us. It's been a great hour of education and information. We've been interviewing Karen Tate regarding all sorts of things, but her book, Goddess Calling, can be found at her website and also in the usual places. Please go out and look for that. And her radio show, Voices of the Sacred Feminine, is something that many of the listeners may want to check out as well. Thanks so much, Karen. I appreciate you joining us.
Well, thank you, and I'm so glad you're out there doing what you do as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Next week, we will be interviewing Paramananda, Without You There, The Zen of Unity. And then the next week, Don Ware will be talking about the spiritual book, Urantia. This is Dr. Susan Kolb with Temple of Health Radio Show. Join us next week.